Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we are given to you. Praise be to God. So, amen. Those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what time it is. You know it's Friday. That's Heart to Heart. Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'm joining them on this Friday night. Praise be to God, and just grateful to the Lord for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. And as we wait till our brother come on, you know, I want to say, and many is going to come across this, that true peace is only found in Christ Jesus. And I want to say this again. True peace is only found in Christ Jesus. There are things that people are doing and turning to other than Christ to find true peace. This is why here on Blog Talk Radio, and don't get me wrong, there's some natural solution for some things, okay? There's some natural strategies of things we can do. But for the most part, and I do stress on most part, the answer is Jesus. And this is why me as well as others who are on this broadcast, you hear us stress way more on Jesus and him being the answer. And sometimes people want answers other than Christ. They want you to give them a, quote, peace or a plan to a peace other than Christ. I'm called of God, and I'm not called of the Lord to do that, okay? And don't get me wrong, there are some natural things that can be done, but the overall thing is going to be Jesus. And this is why you hear me talk way more on that than even the natural things, because I've seen it with people. Let me get more specific. I've seen it more with a lot of professing Christians and some church folks that when they have particular problems and you're telling them that Jesus is the answer and you're giving them how to come close to Christ, it's like that's unacceptable. Yeah, I know that, but what else you do? Okay, let's get the number one thing down pat first, okay? That's what we need to do. And in this day and time, I've been seeing it that more people who Satan may be tormenting their mind, their body, they got so much turmoil in their lives, and they're looking for peace. And they're turning to other things. Some stuff is very sinful. Some things, is things other than Christ to find that peace. You know, some try to find peace in the whiskey bottle. Yeah, I know you hear someone say, well, I just like to drink because of the taste. No, it ain't just the taste. Most of the people that's becoming drunkards or getting drunk are using that alcohol to, quote, try to suppress their problems. And they think that their peace is found in the bottle. Okay? Some have chosen other means, like getting high off drugs. And they think that their peace is in the drug. You know, I talked to a minister who used to come out to the job where I work at. He was a truck driver bringing steel. And he talked about the first time he got high off drugs. He said after that, when he kept doing drugs, he never reached that high again. Oh, he got high, but not that kind of high like he got the first time. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Jesus, when you rely upon his peace, it doesn't change. Hallelujah. Still has the same effect. Still has the same production. Still is the same solution. Jesus, glory to God. There is no greater peace. So to you, fellow Christians, remember, you got to give the number one ounce. And like I said, I'm not going to say that to some things that you can't give a, quote, natural solution. But when you find that people wanting more of the natural solution than actually hearing about the overall solution, which is Jesus, then you have a problem. And many times I've seen that when people are like that, when you deliver the message of Christ, they don't pay attention to you. And it's sad to say, especially some professing Christians. And so this is why, you know, many of you hear me on the broadcast, I stress way more, not saying that I've never given some, quote, natural solution to something, but I stress way more on Christ being the answer, okay? Because I see today that people are real quick to become dependent on anything other than Jesus. Oh, very quick. Whether it's drugs or other people or material things or money or whatever, more specifically, some professing Christians, they are very quick to depend on things other than Christ. So if you give them those things other than Christ, oh, they in their hook, line, and sinker. You got their undivided attention. They're fully listening to you, okay? But when you're giving them the true overall answer of Christ, it seems as though that when you look at them, they're looking all in the air, they're looking all over the ceiling, they're looking, you know, and you get this impression that they're like, I could be somewhere else other than this right now hearing this. Amen. And see, some are going to find out in these last days. See, some are going through things and they think they have a true peace there. But here's the thing they're going to find out. That's going to run out. It's going to run out. Amen. Because they're going to have to see, and even though they may see, I'm not saying they're all going to accept it. And that's the other thing we must remember. There are going to be some out there that you're going to give the word, and they're going to know it's true, but they're not going to accept it. So everybody's not going to accept, even though they may come to the knowledge of knowing the truth or come to the knowledge of seeing the truth. It doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it. And this is why when you have done your best in giving the word and people still don't accept it, shake the dust off your feet and go on. Too many of us is, you know, we're down on our sick beds because we're worrying about people not accepting it. You know, we ought to love people, but God didn't say worry. He said take no thought. God never told you to worry. Once you have given the word to whoever God sent you to, you're going to give them that word, then it's between them and God now. It's off you. And if they don't never accept it, and let's be real about it, if they never accept it, if they never accept Jesus Christ as Lord, they end up being lost, then it won't be on you. Now, I just have to be point blank like that because, you know, some of us are just, we worried ourselves to death. We worried ourselves that now we got different ailments in our body from all this worrying, stressed out and everything because, you know, we know that the road that some of the people we have given the word to is heading. And, you know, I'm not saying don't have a concern, but there's a difference between a concern and a worry. When you worry, you're so stressed out and messed up in the mind mentally from just, you know, so, you know, locked in on that person That's not good. But when you have a concern, we take it to the Lord in prayer, and then once we do it, we drop it. And it's between them and the Lord. Because you have to remember, people have a free will, okay? And you can't make anybody accept Christ as Lord. You can't make anybody see that Jesus is the true peace. The only thing you can do is give the word. Now, once Jesus especially revealed to them that he's the true peace, now they got a decision to make to whether to accept it. And I'm here to tell you, everybody that it's going to be revealed to is not going to accept it. That's just the plain truth, and the word supports that. Everybody's not going to make it in with the Lord. And everybody, even though they might come to the knowledge, because remember the word of God says every eye is going to behold him. But just because every eye is going to behold him, don't mean every eye is going to go into the kingdom with him. Okay? But see, even the eyes of those that was in unbelief, even the eyes of the atheists and all this, they all going to behold and see him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the true peace, we got to keep this in mind, because like I said, we're seeing today, and like I said, and it's amazing that in a sense we have fallen into this thing where we're giving people other answers than the number one answer. Okay? Many in the body of Christ are doing it. We're giving them, and we can tell, you know, I've talked to people, and when I talk to them about Jesus, I can tell from some they don't want to hear it. Okay? And even though I tell them, say, listen, your problem, your situation, listen, Jesus the answer, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I was talking to a guy today, and he was telling me about a situation he was going through, you know, where, you know, let's say, for example, financially, it just seemed like he couldn't get ahead, you know, it seemed like he not making no stride or nothing like that. He's working two jobs and, you know, not, quote, being able to get some things he wanted to get. And what I did is I testified to him about what Jesus did in my life these past 2 years, especially concerning finances. How that one, and maybe y'all heard this on the broadcast when I testify of it, how that when I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to sow more seed, you know, to helping the children over there in other country. I said, I need you to bless me with more money. And the Lord said, you got the seed in your hand. And I said, well, I got seed in my hand. What is that? Well, he said, well, you know, there's such thing you were getting. You didn't need that. Well, you're right, Lord. Okay, that's, what, $20, $30. Oh, this other thing right there, you getting some of that. Look, all they're doing is sitting in the house. Why you keep getting it? Well, Lord, you're right. That's another $20, $30. And then he went and dealt with me about grocery shopping. He said, why are you going grocery shopping every week, spending X amount of dollars? He said, like, for example, when I was thinking about getting ready to go to the grocery store, he said, look at your freezer. I look in the freezer. There was enough food in there. He said, now that's enough food in there. You don't even have to go to the grocery store this week. And I'm like, Lord, you're right. And I, as he worked with me on that, I started seeing more and more money left and saving more money. So I testified to this guy about that. And see, he was talking sincere to me, but I had to give him the overall answer. I told him, I said, the Lord did this in my life. I told him, I said, I prayed the Lord. I said, Lord, I need, and the Lord started working this thing out. People, born again believers, here it is. This is the day that, like I said, some things may call, you can give a, quote, kind of natural solution, just like we talked to y'all about watching what we're eating in our health. Okay, that's a natural solution. But the overall thing is going to be Jesus, the overall answer. The greatest and biggest answer is going to be Christ. And we have to be at our Father's business. Now, some of us, and let's be honest about it, we don't want to keep talking about Jesus to these people because we know that some of them object. And we feel like they're going to treat us funny if we keep talking about it. We might well be real about it. You know, we feel like, well, if I keep telling about Jesus, they're going to act funny towards me from now on. Well, that's a big chance they will, okay? There is a big chance they will. But I'm going to ask you a question. Is it worth it? Do you see it as being worth it? Because I do. I'm not saying that you won't have no feelings, you won't hurt or nothing like that, but in the end, when the smoke clears, ask yourself, is it worth it? If you think it's not worth it, then okay, don't talk about Jesus, okay? And go on and try to please them, because that's what you're doing, okay? But, and I'm not here to say that the tough times you go through is not tough, but I see that Jesus is worth it, okay? You know, I got people on the job I work at now, they just think I'm just plumb crazy. I mean, I haven't even got the word back to me that, hey, man, they saw one brother coming to my workstation, and we talking about the Lord and fellowship together, and they got the word out, said, they told this brother that they think I'm crazy. Now, they didn't tell me to my face, but see, I wasn't shocked about that. Why? Because, you know, people look at me on my job, and I be to myself a lot, you know. Amen. And so, hallelujah, let me patch my brother on here. Praise the Lord, brother. God bless you today.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Be unto you, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Amen. True peace, brother, true peace. I will share with the people how I'm seeing today that people are turning to other things for, quote, peace other than Christ. And the thing about it, too, is that some of us as believers would not give them the number one answer, which is Christ. And people are going to find out that the things that they're pinning on for peace, it's going to run out. They're going to find out that Christ is the true peace. And as Christians, that's the word we have to deliver. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that there's some natural solutions sometimes to certain things, okay? But this is why on the broadcast, people hear me stress more on Christ, because I've seen what's happening now. Even among in some professing believers, we have become scared to talk about Jesus to particular people because we know they won't accept it. Or we're afraid that they're going to treat us funny if we keep talking about Christ to them. You know, so we'll shut up and we will give them more of a natural solution than the overall solution. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We got to give them the true peace.
Yeah, you know, that's sometimes you're quite correct. Let me acknowledge the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the blood of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord, and to the saints everywhere and every place. Shalom. Shalom. Yeshua Mashiach is your peace. What you're saying about that's quite true. You know, the three things that does happen at times when people will draw back from telling people the permanent or the real answer, and they'll draw back because they don't want to be rejected, or they know they're not, you know, they might get aggravated or upset, so they won't testify a bear witness of Christ and his love and redemption to them. You're quite true about that. Many times, well, we make a natural decision, sometime wrong thinking, not to give them, you know, the permanent answer. Yeah, there is natural things we can do to help people in this world that aid to them, of course. But sometime, if we try to replace the real permanent real answer sometime, and just give them, you know, natural answers, we find out that they will continue to fall short with that. Yeah, you know, there's a inward peace that the inward man must have, because the real you, which is spirit, must have the spiritual peace. Now, you can get what I call a consolation prize by moving out of a bad neighborhood, which is good, or moving in a better neighborhood to get away from violence or disturbance, and that's okay. That's all right. You can find a better area, more congenial area, a more peaceful area where violence or crime is not, going to a better place, but you'll still have to need what you call the spirit man, which you are spirit, soul, and body. You'll need the peace of God to sustain yourself and to maintain hope beyond this world. So that's really true. A lot of times we don't want to tell people, and you know, a lot of times that had hit me a couple of times, and I allowed myself to fall into that temporary place, brother, and I had to be awakened. And I had to be stirred. And you know, in prayer, the Holy Spirit will kind of nudge you and awaken you. So that's why you have to constantly commit and submit yourself daily to the Holy Spirit so you fall into that little snap. Well, I ain't going to testify there. But then this year, the Lord reminded me again that you are a witness. We are a witness to a dark, dying world. And our light cannot be put on a, you know, the light can't be, it's got to give light to all that's in darkness. And so I started, he reminded me this year, so every, you know, because when I first started with the Lord, I mean, hardly no one was going to get away almost at some time. I was going to, you know, tell them at an appropriate time about their hope. And it was just a part of my DNA constantly to remind people that darkness and the light that Christ had came and brought is to bring men to the light and the hope that is only in him. And I think a lot of times Christians start out very fervent and diligent and passionate, but then soon or lately the eyes come, they don't feel the need. Your life had to speak a witness, of course. Your daily occupation and your attitude had to be a witness, of course. Absolutely, and that's a greater witness than people watching your life and watching what you do and what you say, which is a greater witness. But you're quite true. We need to open my mouth and declare the difference between darkness and light and hopelessness and hope that is only in Christ. You're quite true about that. And when you get a chance, opportunity, you know, I tell people, use wisdom. But when you get an opportunity, you know, to declare the testimony of Jesus that he is Lord and Savior. You're quite right about that. And I think that's what we're called to do. Ye are my witnesses, Isaiah 43 said, and Acts chapter 1, after the Holy Ghost come, ye are my witness of me. So I think, it's not witness by the organization, it's witness about him first. And I think the second part of it is witness about the job of the church or the body, but the church is not the first. It's about the person, the Lord Jesus. So I think a lot of people invite people to church, that's good. But that's not the complete witness. Hallelujah. They may never make it to church, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the church meeting may be way away or they can't get there. So the first witness is that Christ is Lord and your Redeemer and want to be your Savior right now. And that's the thing that has been pressing on me for years, people putting off telling people they have to get salvation the only way at the church meeting. They can only meet Jesus at Christ at the meeting. And I think that is a fallacy and a hole, a big hole in our understanding of the gospel. There's no such thing as that salvation or the gift of salvation in life can come to you wherever you are according to the scripture. Hallelujah, by faith. And so to tell people, wait till you come to the meeting at the saints together, and that's the only place you can get salvation or redemption. I think we have missed the mark when we do that. Amen.
Amen. So, you're right about that, brother. Amen.
You know, because at times I bear witness to people on my job, but you have to be very careful because you give Caesar what is due Caesar, so you owe that job a certain things. You can't interfere with your work, of course. You got to give them what is due to them. But I still bear witness by my mouth as well as my deed and my walk. And your walk is the greatest witness, your walk, when they see your walk and your new life. That's what speaks louder and clearer to them. And when I get a chance, they know I'm going to share some light with them because they see Lee coming. Oh, he's going to tell us about Jesus. And so for an opportunity, I tell saints, don't be overbearing, because when you're young in Christ, you're very zealous and you get overbearing and don't get too pushy. You know, use wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, be sweet And know there's a time. There's a time. But don't miss your time.
Right.
Don't miss your time. Don't miss your opportunity. Because there's somebody coming your way all the time, and we can't miss our opportunity.
Amen. You're right. You're definitely right about that, bro.
So here's the thing. If we were talking to somebody on the phone 1,000 miles away, and I was talking to somebody right now, and they said, well, I want the gift of life and salvation, and I was to share to them, well, you have to wait until you get your train ticket and come 1,000 miles to this place.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to be put off, but I'm telling you that a lot of people are misunderstanding the gospel and the bear witness to Christ is that he's available to be a redeemer and savior to you right now, 1,000 miles away. Yeah, I mean, it's do you think it's silly for somebody to tell somebody, wait till you come to the church 1,000 miles away, that's the only way you can gift the gift of salvation? I think they mean well. Church religious
right.
people who believe that, hallelujah. But you can show them that Jesus Christ is nigh to them that are willing to believe wherever they are and surrender their life. If you could be in Vietnam right now, and the person come on the line and say, I want the living waters of life. I want redemption. I want the eternal salvation. And I want the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy and the hope that I wanted today. And someone would probably tell them, well, you have to wait and come to the synagogue. And I don't mean any harm to any Christians, but somebody would tell them, you can't get it if I can't find no water. Is that really true? A person is limited if there is no physical water somewhere where they have to be physically baptized. If there is no water, they can't get it. Is that really true that God would limit himself to the physical world and says the physical world by water is the only way you can get salvation or redemption? And somebody said, we're in a mess because there is no water in this land where we can baptize with water. So these people are just going to have to do without life and salvation. Do you think God would bag himself in such of a corner like that?
No, I don't think so, brother. In fact, I think we'll try to bag him in a corner.
That's our religious thinking.
Yeah.
That's not understanding the gospel. The gospel is about a personal relationship, an invitation of Christ to come into your life by faith anywhere in all three books. If there is no water, there is no building, if there is no altar, wooden altar, a physical object, that will not stop Christ who will come into your life, nor the Holy Spirit finding his way into your life. If you're in a village or in an army hole, a foxhole, like I was in Vietnam, a person in that foxhole can receive redemption and salvation. They don't have to wait till I get home and get out of this army. That's the only Christ can come. Christ can't come to this hole right here. He only come to this building. See, we hinder people by not understanding the proof of the gift. Salvation is a gift, just like the Holy Ghost. Healing is a gift. All these things are gifts, and you can receive that gift through faith. That's why God put the first foundation of the gospel is faith. And you notice why he made the foundation of the gospel is always believing and having faith. And he didn't put water first. He said,
right.
if you believe with your heart.
Right.
See, it's the believing part that's the most important part. The water baptism is a part of the gospel. But if there is no water, you still can get the gift. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. If there ain't no water, if there ain't no building, there's no bricks, no mortar, I still can get right. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, wherever place you are, hospital, prison, in a hole, in a military, on the field, walking down the road, in a tavern. Jesus can come in a tavern. I know people don't believe that. He can come in a nightclub, and right there in that place,
yeah,
where the devil is doing his bit, Jesus can walk in. You can invite him. You can say, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And he will come. You can say, Lord, I want you. salvation. I heard you died and rose again. I want you to come. Give me the gift of life. And he will come. Hallelujah. It's, okay, I just had to get that little point in. Because a lot, we're missing our opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
If you got some water there, after they come to Christ and redemption and you have authority from Christ, take them all down and put them on that water in Jesus by the authority of God. Go ahead. But don't think you're hindered because there is no water.
Amen.
Because the blood, it's the blood that washes. It's the blood that redeems. Romans tell us that it's the blood. Hebrew tells us by the power of the blood. So when you believe on the Lord, the blood is applied. See, it was the blood that was shed. And
yeah.
I believe in water baptism. I believe it's part of the gospel. But I think it's often taken and used in a way to tell people that if you don't get to that water, you can't receive the gift of life. That's not scripturally sound. That's man's thinking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
So glad he hasn't limited. He hasn't limited. Wherever you are today, wherever you're listening, God is not limited by the physical things of this world. Hallelujah. Nor any physical thing. You don't have to come to a physical house. It is good where the people, saints, that's good. You come to the church, come to the chapel, come to the meeting for the saints where the preacher's preaching. But the preacher can preach on a mountain like Jesus did. Jesus preached on a hill. He preached on in the streets. He didn't have to go to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue, but he met people in the street. The woman at the well, the fourth chapter of John, he didn't say, wait and go to the synagogue. He did not tell that woman who was searching and seeking in Zion and said, she was waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus said, I am he. I'm
Amen.
Here. Why didn't he tell her, wait and go to the synagogue the next Sabbath day?
Amen.
All right, then. I just want to get that in because I don't want nobody out there. You're 1,000 miles away. And I know that my brethren are wonderful people. They're apostolic people, and they believe in water baptism, and I believe in it too, baptism in Jesus' name by the authority of those that have the authority to do so. But I believe in it. But I don't believe that water in the Scripture stop you from receiving life and redemption because we have too many examples in the Scripture talks about what the key thing, if you only believe, you can receive. As many believe or receive him, he gave them the rights to be called the sons of God. Now, so if you're out there, you can receive healing because salvation is a gift. Healing is a gift. All of these things are the gift of God. Jesus Christ is life and the resurrection. He that believeth on me. And if you're there and you want to believe in your heart and repent and say, Lord Jesus, transform, come into my life, make me brand new. I put my trust in you and you alone. So I just want to let you know there is no distance where Christ can't come. He's not hindered by a building or a synagogue or a cemetery. And look, he brought deliverance in the cemetery, brother. Remember, the man was full of demons. Jesus would come anywhere. The man was demon-possessed, and Jesus had a purpose of going that way, and the man was so demon-possessed that he came that way, and he brought salvation and deliverance to the cemetery. I like that, bro. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Right,
I'll testify, people.
Right about that.
Huh?
You're definitely right about that. You're definitely right about that, brother. You know, we have to, and those of you that are listening out there, as my brother's saying, what he's saying is true. And if you're looking for peace, and I'm talking about the true peace, the answer is Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you that listen say, oh, of course, y'all going to say that. Okay, try him. That's all I say to you. Try to him.
Well,
and
sure.
When you try him, you ain't got to worry about us just talking about it, just saying something. Try it.
Yeah. This is the gospel of peace. The word gospel of itself means peace and hope. The gospel itself, because he is your peace. And, it, you know, in the book of Isaiah, he's in the ninth chapter, when Jesus was to be born, he said he's the Prince of Peace, the everlasting God. And so he bring peace, the peace of God that surpass all understanding should keep your heart. And listen, if you want peace and the love of God and the hope that's only in Christ when he died and rose again, today is your day. Now, the, you know what's so wonderful about it, brother? There's no charge. He'd already paid the price.
Amen. Amen.
No, you know, some people, you know, to get certain gifts, you have to charge at the door and charge for this. Well, Jesus done paid the price with his life. The Bible said he laid down his life. No man take his life. He gave it freely that we may have life and have it more abundant. Romans 10. He gave himself that we may be redeemed from the curse of sin and death. Listen, today and this evening, wherever you are tonight, it is your opportunity. There's no charge. You notice we don't offer you, come give us an offering, $2,000, you can get it. We'll send this to you. No, 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 beloved. Jesus met no people everywhere. He didn't take no collection, no order before he gave you salvation. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the living waters, John 6, John 11. Gospel of John. He's the bread of life. If you want life and eternal life today, and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's a decision you have to make to trust Jesus Christ as Lord today. He can be your healer, your deliverer. He can restore you. There's people wondering, well, I can't get free. I'm bound by this drug spirit. I'm bound by this homosexual spirit, this adultery spirit, this lying spirit, gambling spirit. I don't know what I am, a transsexual. The devil's got me confused, I'm troubled. I got a cigarette habit, so I feel God won't accept me, a wine habit. Listen. The love of God is greater than that, and he come to set the captive free. Isaiah, he came to set you free. He didn't come to give you religion. He didn't come to give you churchism. He came to give you life. That's why he said, I am the light of life. The God's kind of life that calls your spirit to have peace and hope. Now, if you can make a decision today, if we were charging $100, you'd probably come running or calling us up. If we were charging $1,000, Brother Nate, they'd probably be ringing off the thing saying, ooh, $1,000 to get this? Okay, okay. But Christ has paid the price, the penalty, amen, that you might be redeemed. That's what's so wonderful. No barriers, no denomination. See, Jesus didn't come to give you a denomination. He came to give you redemption and life. Romans 5. He came to give you redemption, life. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and 8, Christ gave his life, died for us, but more important, he rose again. That means we shall live again. Hallelujah. Now, that's eternal hope that we shall live eternally with him. He'll raise the dead when he's come back again. The dead in Christ shall come with him. Those that have died shall be raised and come alive with him. Those that are alive shall come up to meet him there. Listen, he made this thing so simple and easy, and the devil don't want you to have it. Church people try to make it all, you got to do shake this shake and shake it, shake and shake. You got to come 1,000 miles. You got to come to this building. No, you take the gospel to them. You take life to them. But they may never come to a building. They never come to a meeting, not to a synagogue, a religious meeting. Take it to them. On the street, in the dive, in the house, or any other place. Are you not a witness where Jesus took the gospel to them? The apostles went everywhere. They didn't just go to no synagogues or no church meeting alone, did they? Or did they, brother?
No, they didn't.
Yeah. The 8th chapter of Acts, Philip was on his way. And there was an Ethiopian, a man who was sort of like a, what do you call him, Enoch. He was for the queen of Ethiopia. He was an important man from Ethiopia. So, see, the Lord don't have no racial thing. Ethiopian, they're brown people, tan people. I mean, he's not no black mankind, prejudice, of color. He made your color. What you mean? He made all colors. What you talking about? I mean, God created the heavens and earth and all men. He created every color on the earth. So why is it that people think that white is better and black is better and yellow is better? Where did you get this from? Well, we're going to find out something about this. Why the devil has God used race and color to stop you from getting life? Okay. We're going to take a 15 minutes to show you the seed that Satan that sowed in man in his fall and uses race, blood, and ethnicity and culture and environment to separate man from man to hearing the truth of the gospel. Why has Satan used his race, prejudice, bigotry, discrimination, and all this evil to keep man in darkness? Okay. Let's do a little chat, brother. Let's do a sci-fi chat right here. We're going to do it for about maybe 20 minutes. Okay. We're going to have a chat, a heart-to-heart face chat with you wherever you are in the world. We're not afraid to deal with any subject. Brother Nate and I, we're not afraid to deal with any subject of life. We're not religious people. We are servants of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We are witnesses. We are disciples of him that came, that you may have life and eternal life. We are not religious people. And I even though I attend a Church of Christ with Elijah Message, I'm what the Bible said, the family of God by faith and the new birth in Christ. John said you must be born of the water and the Holy Spirit. But you notice, if you don't have water, the physical side of water, Jesus will give you the waters of life, because he is the waters of life, the living waters. See, he's not hindered if you don't get to the physical water, which is part of his teaching. But if you don't never get there, he is the living waters. I know you, Shatta. He's the living well. He's the living well, bro. Don't you know what he said to the woman? I'm the... out of you shall flow wells. He told the woman. And then he told another man, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of life. So you can get the rivers of life and the well of life in you today without any human physical water. Because Jesus is the living well of life, the living stream, the living waters. That's why faith and trust in Jesus is not limited if you can't get to a house or get to a water baptism in time. If you find some, you'll get there. But you won't. If you die, you won't miss heaven because you didn't get to the water. See, Jesus is not making the gospel physically impossible, putting limitations. Say, Brother Nate, if you don't get to that synagogue 3,000 miles over there, you can't get this gift. I'm sorry, if you get enough money, you can travel over there and get it. But if you ain't got no money, you just have to die in your sins. No, he's a good God. You don't know how good and wise he is. He's good and wise. He's not just good, but he's wise, and he's merciful, and he's wise. People say he's wise, but you need to know the wisdom of God. Not that he's just good, but you need to know the wisdom of God, as well as the goodness of God that brings salvation. The wisdom of God tells you that he's not limiting you today if you're in your house. Or you sitting in your bed and you depressed and you want to commit suicide today. Because there's a lot of people out there who have a suicide oppression. They're so depressed and things are going so terrible and distressful that they just feel like giving it all up and just committing suicide. And the demon is whispering to you. And the demon is, many people, he's driving them to suicide. That's why he got, this is one of the reasons why the devil has released this drug demon upon the world. This illegal drug demon. He released it upon every city, and he released it upon America because America is a Christian nation, and so she's fallen now into the trap and the snare of Satan to open these demons called this drug demon, because this drug demon carries a lot of things about suicide and destruction. I don't know how I got on that subject, brother. Okay, let's go. Hallelujah. And you notice that because people are so depressed and void of peace, of hope, that I have no peace of God, not a hope of God, which is in Christ. Jesus said, my peace I give you. John 14, he told his disciples, my peace will I give you. Not as the world. See, the world has what they call a pacifier, but it's not the real peace. It's a baby pacifier. Take this drink, Brother Nate, you'll feel better. Drink this cigarette, brother, you'll feel all right. Drink this cognac, brother, you'll be all right. And you'll be drinking to the next 20 years, destroying every organ, every part of your body, your mind, and your hope. Take this reefer or this cannabis, brother. You know you need that. And take this heroin, and don't forget about cocaine, and we used to have LSD, all these different drugs he's creating. This is what the devil is called, the cunning wisdom of evil. The cunning wisdom of evil is to destroy. And so now he is making it legal, and he's putting these, what they call destroying demons, who are coming upon all America states, and making this thing legal so they can be destroyed and allow demons to come in and give them the suicide oppressing demon to cut them off from their inheritance in Christ. Because Ephesians says, chapter 1, that from the foundation of the world, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that Jesus, what he did, he came to redeem us that we may be holy even as he is holy. So he's got all these unholy things. And even the church world are part of this. Well, it's not the real Jesus church. It's not the real Jesus gospel either. But it's a shadow, what they call a shadow, what Christianity is about. So if anybody out there mad at me, please call in. You can call and I'll receive you with the grace and the love of God. I won't get mad at you. Okay. All right. I love you out there. Yes, I'm Brother Lee, and yes, it's possible for me to make mistakes. So if I find an error or mistake, know that my heart is with God. But see, God looks at the heart and the intent. See, God judges the heart and the intent and the motive. I said God judges the heart, the intent and the motive. The intent and the motive of the heart. That's why God can only truly know fully, only Jesus only fully know the hearts of people. Now, the Holy Spirit can reveal to people certain things about you, and the Holy Spirit will open and know and reveal certain things that humans don't know. Now, the psychics and these, what they call these people, they're not operating by the Holy Spirit. That is a spirit of divination from the devil. So 18th chapter Deuteronomy, 19th chapter Leviticus, 20th chapter Leviticus, 1st chapter Romans, that's the spirit of divination. So this, now people are paying psychics to try to find out what their future going to be. I can tell you if you go to a psychic what your future going to be, hell and destruction. I apologize. No, but I don't take it back. Okay? Now, if you fall into that trap, Jesus still loves you. He cares about you, and I love you. But I'm telling you what the intent of going to get advice from the devil. And if you write to us, oh, they got them all on Hollywood, all in the paper, but call me up so you can get an answer. They got them now, brother. You can call on the line. People can talk, and they can charge it. This devil has got so subtle and tricky. He got people calling in for answers to hear from the devil. Now, Satan knows certain things about the world and knows certain things about you. So you get confused because he knows certain facts. He don't know everything, but he knows certain facts because demons travel in the earth and they got a little notebook and they keep record, and so they know certain things about people. All right, brother, you can add to
Amen. Amen. And that's most definitely true, brother, because you know we're called, as you said, we're called to give the gospel. I mean, we're not called to be overbearing.
Yeah.
We're called to give the gospel. And
yeah.
Our knees have been knocking too hard. We have shied away
yeah.
from, you know, there are even subjects that is need of discussion where for the most part we have shied away from. And I'm talking about
yes.
the body of Christ in general. And we won't touch it.
But
the world is coming at you and saying, what do you think about it? And we just
yep.
kind of bag off and we
right.
tap dance around the answer.
Okay.
And,
right.
you know, Jesus didn't worry about that, brother, when he walked there. When he walked there, if he didn't
no.
worry about nothing about that. I mean,
no,
when
no.
it's time to answer, he
well,
answered. Okay? He wasn't afraid, you know.
No, he didn't get bow-legged or nothing like that. He remained in love. He remained in peace and justice and truth. And he didn't back up from any question of life. Neither did the prophets. Neither did the apostles. They did not back up. They didn't turn sideways. But we don't want to talk about that, Brother Nate. We just want to talk about poverty things, you know. Well, there is a poverty thing, how you can get free when you know the reality of what you're going through in life and you don't know the answer to it, but you got to face what the problem is because it is a reality in life. Well, give me an example. There is so many good, wonderful Christian ministers are afraid of losing their position, their money, and their status if they teach or deal with certain things about life that people are facing. Am I right? Well, I could be
Amen.
Wrong.
No, you're right about that.
Now, I'm going to give you an example. I was looking on Facebook, and I saw a controversy this evening as I was looking at Facebook and different things, the different Christian things. There is a minister I saw a while ago. He happened to be a man of color, a black Christian minister. And I think, I didn't look at this thing, I think it's Texas or Georgia, but there's a great controversy about him because it been picked up that he, this black Christian minister, has put a sign, and the whole town is aware of where he lives at. I think, I didn't know if it was Texas or Georgia, but I'll go back and look. But I was just looking at this today. A lot of people are afraid and fearful to touch that and will run and hide and do like the ostrich. You know how the ostrich do, brother? Something that is terrible. He stick his head up in the ground because he don't want to deal with certain things of life. Is that right?
Right, right.
And so I understand, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, they have been led to believe that they are not to deal with the hard and difficult things of realities of life and give people answers. They just want to smooth it over with some religious talk, but they have to really talk with the reality of this world. We live in a world, a natural world, with spiritual consequences and a kingdom of darkness that's seeking to control all life. Now, this African-American man that I was looking on Facebook this day, he has put a sign outside his church telling the black people, don't go to any white churches.
Hmm.
And he told all black people, do not go to white churches. Now, here's the thing. This is his rationale. He said to the people, if you can't live in their neighborhood, and you can't go to their schools or be in their sort, then why should you go to their churches? All of a sudden, it seemed that, I guess, white ministers are now trying to build mega churches, and they open their doors mostly to all races now. So
right.
they want to come in the black neighborhood. So he was saying, no, don't go to their white churches. If you can't live in that community, if they don't want you to live in that community, be in that school or in that, or even talk to their daughter, don't go to their churches. Now, I don't agree with my responsibilities to God to reject or tell a person because of their color not to go to any church. I wouldn't base it on that. If I would tell a person not to go there, if the devil was and they was preaching not the gospel and preaching false doctrine, then I'll tell them they shouldn't. I wouldn't go there. But not on based on color. But I do understand his rationale. Now tell me, brother, from a natural point of view, I understand his statement from a natural human view. Do you understand
right.
me?
Right.
Because from the human natural side, the rational side, it makes sense to the natural man, and the natural side, what he's saying has some merit. Because remember that now, you know, a lot of the white churches are integrating and willing to welcome all people and even come to the black neighborhood now, coming closer to invite all people. But it was not always that way. Now,
right.
even if I look at from the from the spiritual side of Jesus, who never would preach, but the Jews hated or despised the Samaritans on basis on religious reasons. This preacher is putting this sign, don't go to the white churches. Now, what do you think about that, brother? Now, I understand from the natural side, the human side, that he has some merit, just looking from a human side now. I'm not looking from the spiritual side, the
right.
kingdom of God side, because I don't agree with it from the kingdom of God side. But as a man, as a human person in this life, a lot of people reasonably were looking and said, yeah, that do make sense from the natural side. They didn't want us in their churches. We can't live in their neighborhood. Why should I go to their churches now? So how do you glean that? See, I'm not willing. I'm willing to deal with every question. Because it's real to people. We live in a natural world, a fallen world where men are fallen. Do you know that all men are fallen and all men in chapter, Romans 5 and Romans 3 said all men were conceived in iniquity and born in sin iniquity, Rome and Psalms 51. And they come here with a fallen nature. So from looking at what he says from a natural point of view, from a carnal point of view, it makes sense. From a human standpoint, I understand where he's coming from, even though I don't agree.
Right.
But from a natural point, a human front, it makes sense to the human mind that if they don't want us in their neighborhood for years, we couldn't go walk on their streets or walk in a line, then why should I go to their churches? So you have any comments
right.
about that, brother?
Yeah. I mean, I see it from that side too, from the natural human side, and I agree with you on that. I definitely now I wouldn't go that route to tell people. I don't agree with that tactic he did, but however, yeah, I do see what he's saying. You know, from the natural standpoint, you know, but no, I wouldn't have went, you know, with that way of what he did like that. But yeah, I do. I understand from what he's saying from a natural standpoint.
Now there's a natural side and a human side, and there is a God side. Here's the thing about people. You have to deal with the humans because people are human and they have a natural human inclination in this life. So if you try to avoid that subject and try to go on to some higher spiritual thing, that is not going to help. Jesus faced the problems, faced right on. He didn't avoid them. You understand that? And see, too many ministers, well, I don't want to talk about that. The man got a sign. He's crazy. No, he's not. This man, I look at him, and he's not crazy. He's looking at it from a human standard point of view and looking in from a natural point and from a carnal sense, it makes a lot of sense. And he has some merits because if they didn't want you in their churches, we're looking at it from a human side. Do you not remember, brother, that I lived in the Deep South and you were not allowed in a white church, a black person?
Here's what you got to understand.
We got to explain this to people. We got to explain to people that man in a fallen state, a carnal nature, in Adam, Romans 5 said, all in Adam, all are fallen, and all are fallen with a fallen nature. So you don't know that Satan, when he seduced and tricked Adam to partake of that which was forbidden, he introduced him death. He introduced Adam to death and darkness and separation from the nature of God. Understand what he did? He introduced him to the fruit of darkness, which is the sinful nature, the fallen nature away from God, and he inherit the devil's nature, which rebellion and darkness. When he fell, he lost fellowship and the light of God, and he inherit a fallen nature that Romans says, a fallen sin nature, Ephesians says. Ephesians 2 explains it in a way, Paul, about what we was before we came to Christ. Now, the people in many areas of the South were trained and taught that black people was not to attend their churches. These was Christian people now. Now, understand this. We're not spewing out hate. We're talking about the reality. Brother, a lot of people want to avoid this. Jesus never avoids stuff. This is what happened in this life in a fallen world, a sinful world. And when you ask these questions, you have to be willing to address them, because many people are wondering from their reasonable mind and their human thinking, rational thinking, reasonable people say, yeah, it makes sense. Now, we were rejected as black people in the South, could not go to white churches. You know that?
Right, yeah.
They didn't want you. They didn't want you in their schools. Where else they didn't want you? Huh?
Well, in certain places, they didn't want you in the restaurants.
They didn't want you talking to their daughter, do they? That's one of the main things.
Right.
As a black person,
yeah.
Oh, don't talk to my daughter. Oh, no. Well, no. Oh, no. They were full of fear because of the fallen nature. Now, they were trained and brought up with racism and false deception about race. They have been taught and trained, and these are church people now, brother. You realize all these were white Christian people in the church, in the Christ, who were on their way to heaven. Do you understand
right.
that now?
Right.
They believe in a false lie and a premise that they had been trained and taught that white was superior and black was inferior, and some was told that we were not fully human. Now, see, everybody's scared to deal with this. I ain't scared, brother. See, I'm for real. See, I don't live this, and I experienced these traumas. So I could be full of hate. My nature was fallen, and my flesh was not submitted to God or will. So therefore, I had to deal with some things from the rational and the natural kingdom of life. How do I deal with this? I'm not worthy to go to these churches, and if I try to go in these white churches down south, I may wind up dead behind a truck.
Right.
But these were Christian people who did not want you in their neighborhood or in their community nor in their schools. So let's look at it from three angles. Why is that in the heart of people, that thinking? Where do they get that seed of corruption in them to think such a thing or believe such a thing, that another human being is not worthy but inferior? Now, from the natural point of view, the fallen nature, read Romans and Ephesians 2 about the fallen nature of man. He inherits the fallen nature. With that nature, such corrupt thought and thinking was sown. Remember, brother, that Satan has no love.
Right.
When he was kicked out, he lost his nature, his heavenly nature as an angel, and inherited a rebellious, corrupt, treasonal nature with hate. So when you are born in iniquity, you have hate in you. You have a propensity to hate. When you are trained all your life that my skin and my blood cover makes me superior, and I take it over in the spiritual side, that blacks are less than human, I've been sown a seed and a lie. I don't care what color you are. The blacks could think they're greater than the whites. They have been sown a corrupt seed of lie to divide you and make you hate one another. See, Satan hates because he has no love. Sorry about that. We got to understand, Satan has no love because God is love. The Bible said in 1 John 4, God is love. The nature of God is love, divine nature of God. Peter talks about inheriting the divine nature, and 1 and 5, 1st chapter Peter, 1 and 5 and 4. We lost the nature of God. And so with all of those different people in parts of the world have been teaching in every, this seed of corruption is sown in every culture about race and superiority. Every culture with this, because of Adam's fallen nature, Satan has sown this seed of corruption and superiority to have people against fighting one another because of ethnicity, stupidity, and ignorance, saying that one race is superior to the other and hate that race. This is in every culture, the devil, because all are born in sin. I said all born in sin and iniquity. So now, it is a natural compensity when people are trained from birth, taught in an environment of superiority, like in America, the whites, it happened to be, I'm using America, but it's in every nation. I said it's in every nation, brother, this seed. In America, they were trained up and taught that white is superior to black color. Now, if you're trained that all your life, and then you go to the church and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven, and blacks are inferior, and we don't want them in our churches, and they are absurd. I've been trained that and taught that, and that seed of corruption, it even preached from the pulpits in the South and sometime in the North. So now some change has come in the 1960s. It was a common thing, even in the North, for you to stay in your own community, go to your own church, because we're not wanting you to come to ours. Now, I'm gonna hit this hammer, this thing on the head, brother. You don't mind me hitting it on the head, because I'm not scared to deal with this problem. Like a lot of ministers want to hide and duck and play games. Well, you know, we ought to love one another. Yeah, we ought to, brother, but let's deal with the reality. Well, you know, God wants us to love us. That's true. I said, but let's deal with the reality that exists among men, and because of the fall and what they've been taught and trained in every nation, this corrupt seed to divide by race and color. Now, when Satan fell, because he's corrupted, 14th chapter of Isaiah, 28 of Ezekiel, 12th chapter of Revelation, Luke chapter 10, because he's corrupt and has lost, he's no longer having light in him. The light of God is not in him. That means his nature is dark and treasonous. And Jesus said, Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all his nature is. Okay, you got that, John 10? What is his nature? Satan come to kill, steal. Now he's fallen. So he hate, who do he hate? He hate God because he has no love. He's been cast out. He has no love because God is love. His love of God has left. The light of God has left. Okay? All of this has left him. Now he's opposite. He's full of hate. So when Adam obeyed, he inherited what Satan trained and taught all through the fall is you are superior, This is pride. In all nations, you find this seed. And in America, it was corruptible seed in slavery of the blacks and other groups. And each group has its propensity towards thinking it is better than the other group, whether it's by color or culture or by class or by education or by birth. Some people think I'm born in the yellow race, so I'm superior to the Chinese or the Japanese. So this goes on and on. The Africans are the same way. They got all the different tribes. They got this same evil. They got the it's in every nation, Russia, Ukraine, every nation under the sun. But America is more prominent because she's the greatest nation, Christian nation, in the last days. How much time? How much time we got, brother?
You got about 17 minutes.
Okay. Now, this pastor, I understand his reasoning, even though I don't agree. That's what Jesus desire and the gospel of Christ. But I understand his human reasoning. I said I understand his natural human deduction. He got a sign out there, don't go to the white churches. They didn't want you. They don't want you in their neighborhood. They didn't want you for years in their on their street or in their community. All of a sudden now, they want to come and now and make a bigger church. And before you only could go to your own black churches, now all of a sudden they want to come. So he's reasoning that, well, y'all don't want us, didn't want us, so don't go to the white churches. Do you understand my human side?
Yeah.
Now, this is not
right.
This is not the teaching that Jesus wants us to come to, but we have to deal with the reality of it, that we have a racist, bigotry, prideful nation and nations in the world. And I'm not afraid to address this subject about separation, this seed of corruption that Satan has taught mankind. How is mankind going to be delivered from this? Even today, because the way people have been trained for centuries, even in the Western Christian world, we have not fully overcome this. What did I say, Brother Nate?
Amen.
Even in the Christian enlightened world, we still have not overcome. I mean, I'm talking about sinners now. I'm talking about Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody understand that?
Amen.
Amen.
In the late 60s in America, even among the prominent churches, it was until after the late 60s that became a breakthrough of deliverance and healing where you were permitted, even in the North, to welcome to the Christian churches. Racial prejudice was so great in the South that you could not, black people could no longer be in the same community when the gospel preached. They had to be either outside or some other place. They could not be. Now, these same people who call themselves Christians, who actually read out the same Bible, believing this corrupt, deceiving lie, think they were going to heaven. Now, it's not limited to one color now. Not limited to one color. It's in all nations.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's more so prominent in America, because it's the most prominent nation. So it's equal. If you're the most prominent, then it's the evil is going to be more prominent, okay, and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So even to this day, that seed is still in people, and some of the whites and blacks, who think they are still superior.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they, Jesus Christ had made him Lord, they're not delivered yet. They're not completely free. Because
Amen.
From the natural point, now I'm gonna talk from the spiritual point and the natural one. From the natural point, the human historical point, now this is going to make somebody mad. This I'm talking from the human, carnal nature historical point, whites are not superior to blacks. Blacks and color people in the history has always been superior to whites
mm-hmm.
in certain areas. Now, from a spiritual point of view, that's irrelevant because God does not deal with color. He deals with hearts and lives that need redemption. Now, get this straight. Jesus is not using, because he made all colors. Do you know that Jesus, when he created the world, he made all these different colors?
Mm-hmm.
And God don't make no unwise, foolish things. He created all of these colors. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And we are not going to be saved by color. We're going to be saved by the blood. We're not going to be accepted of God because of color. We're not going to be into heaven because, well, I'm yellow and I'm red, and so I'm going to be accepted. No, that's flesh. That's dust. That's molecules. Atoms. That flesh. Dust it up. And so the Lord is not going to judge or come because he made all flesh. But I understand this, Pastor. So we got Sister Anderson on. Okay, the few minutes left. We're just discussing a subject that people don't like.
Sister Helen.
The subject. Sister Helen, okay.
Sister Helen.
Okay. Oh, Sister Helen, okay. Go ahead, sister.
Go ahead.
Welcome.
Amen. I just thank the Lord for listening in tonight, you know, on the word and for opening up my understanding, you know, of the word, you know, that it's going for. You know, on tonight, I just truly thank the Lord for that. So,
okay, we want you. Pitt, you live in a real world where real problems and real difficult. We can't avoid what's real in the natural world of carnal, fallen nature, man. People don't want to talk about what's real in the natural world, so they can know what the real answer is. They want to play like, well, we all love one another, and we love the black people, and the white people love the red people. Quit playing all these stupid games. That's not real. That's not truthful. That's not honest. That's deceitfulness. That's called deceitfulness. So, you live in a fallen world that's controlled by devils and demons. 2 Corinthians said Satan is the god of this world. He influences the ungodly, and he influences the redeemed also, if you're not careful.
Yeah.
He got thoughts and seeds to them thinking that one group, one class is taught is superior in many areas. That's one of his biggest lies. His biggest deception to divide and conquer and to destroy.
Amen.
Because in Satan, there is no love and no light.
Mm-hmm.
Only hate. That's why people hate. Well, why they hate? Well, I just hate them because they this color, or they this class, or this person. Well, I know why they hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a capsize of why men people are like they are. When I was in the South, and in the South, you're well aware of segregation, discrimination, bigotry, and race and hatred. Well, live with it. But many of the blacks overcame it. Because even they lived in a black, unjust society, and the black, they went to church. And, you know, a lot of blacks did not hate white people because they treated them like dirt. You understand that? And but some people did have some problem because they were treated like dirt and not human beings. Now, all of a sudden, 20 years later, some white or Caucasian Anglo-Saxon people has been transformed or changed to some degree, and now they accept certain people. And now this pastor got decided, don't go to the white church. I understand his rationale. I don't agree with it from the spiritual point of view, from God. All right, who got the last word? Who? Come on, sister. Let's talk up now. Let's not be shy. We're not scared.
Amen. Amen. I really didn't have anything to say. I was just listening.
Okay. Well, here, you're going to have something to say because you're going to have to face people and you're going to answer these problems. See, we can't hide.
Amen.
We can't hide. See, that's what I'm trying to tell people. Learn that Jesus faced every question and reality of his life.
Amen.
He did not duck his head and run away. There were so many differences between the Jews who despised and hated. They had the same stuff in the Jews. And in his day, he had to deal with the same thing that is still in the world today that many have not overcome, and no one, hardly very few in the Christian world, want to deal with this particular subject. If we were to bring up transgender or homosexual, oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the drug addiction, jealousy. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination. Oh, well, brother, we don't want to talk about that, brother. Let's talk about how God's going to bless her with this big house and this big car. And let's talk about some physical things in this life that people want to talk about. Let's not talk about reality and how to overcome those things.
Mm-hmm.
And not run and do like an ostrich, stick his head. We don't want to talk about that. I'm going to talk about it because Jesus and the prophets talked about it.
Amen.
All right, brother Nate, you want to add something to that, brother? Because he had this sign, and I understand why the black minister. And I don't believe that he's full of hate. I don't believe he has hate. I looked at him. I think he's doing it. I don't think he has a heart of hate either.
Mm-hmm.
We want to welcome on Sister Anderson too, brother. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
Okay.
Well, God bless you, brother. Go right ahead with the conversation. Just listening.
We were just having a little chat. We're having a little conversation. And that's why I told Brother Lou, we're going to have a chat and we're going to discuss something that a lot of people want to stick their head in the ostrich in a hole and don't want to address.
Amen. What the conversation is about is so true. It's been a number of years ago, but I had a lady to tell me that if there are two heavens, one for the blacks and one for the whites.
Well, yeah. When I was in the South, that was a feeling that we were not going, and from there, what their view was, we're not going to the same heaven. Ain't no black people going to be up in here because they not, some of them are half human.
Right.
And see, people want to be dishonest and want to be religious and said, we don't want to stir up anything. It's already stirred up, baby. What do you mean stirring up? Running from reality and helping people how to overcome stuff, because the first be honest with them. You can't be dishonest.
Amen.
You can't be deceiving and use religious data. Well, there is no racism. Some of my best friends are black. When you hear that, I look to people and I say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to say that? Some of my best friends are yellow or blue. Okay. I understand. And let's work with that. So, I'm bringing everything that this pastor was, and I understand his premise from the natural human point of view, struggles in many people's lives, many nations, and it's in the Christian church who has not overcome this thing about racial superiority. It's in every nation.
Yeah, amen.
Brother.
Amen.
And so as long as we call ourselves the kingdom of God and the church of the enlightened ones, and we're afraid to deal with these subjects of life, then what do people do? They have to go and take another sip of drink of alcohol to try to deal with certain problems. Smoke this reefer here. We got a big problem here. This demon has been loosed upon America called sorcery, which is witchcraft, which is called drug culture.
Mm-hmm.
We are about to see something. This drug culture has been made legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's true.
This demon is loose, Brother Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to back up and not address how the devil is deceiving and destroying people. I'm not going to back up.
The truth. Amen.
If you want to go back up, you go get to the person that want to tell you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Make you feel good in this deception. All right, Brother Nate, you want to come up about the pastor's got this sign out there. You want to end it up and tell people that Jesus Christ loves all nations and all people, and he wants them healed and delivered.
Amen, and he does. He wants all to be healed and delivered of these things that have separated people and having them at against one another and wanting to destroy the works of the devil. And we're grateful today for this broadcast. We're grateful for the sisters joining us, our brother speaking tonight as we had, quote, the conversation. I pray that all of you that have been listening also with an open ear. And we're not on here to preach hate, anything. We're preaching the gospel, but we are dealing with the issues from also the natural standpoint of view. And therefore, you know, Christ didn't shy away from these things, and therefore we shouldn't shy away. So therefore, in that respect, we do lay down this, that Christ is the way and the answer, and there is problems. And for the way for you to get here, you have to first admit there's the problem. If you don't admit there's a problem, you can't get the help. If the one that's on alcohol can't admit that he has an alcohol problem, a drinking problem, if he keep telling you, I got it, I got it under control, I'm fine, he can't get the deliverance that he needs. But when he turn around and say, hey, I got a problem, I need help, I need deliverance, and acknowledging that problem, then he's on his way to deliverance. So let us all keep that in mind. And once again, we thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. We thank the Lord for the broadcast, the opportunity given us. And therefore, don't forget, tomorrow night, another heart-to-heart. Tomorrow night, advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Once again, from Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, and Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you and have a blessed day. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.